about strength, because strength is important. A lot of us would probably admire, you know, some of the men will admire, particularly men, having that kind of super strong body. And I'm not here to demonstrate that today. But you know, there's something that we like to be strong. And it's not just physical strength. It's also kind of emotional strength. It's also that ability to face the challenges in life and overcome them. The truth is that God's got something really special and particular for your life, every one of you. Doesn't matter whether you've never even met God, doesn't know whether you're walking in here and you don't even know if he exists or not, that's all cool. The point is that you were made to do something wonderful. That you are not an add-on, that whatever your previous experiences might have been, whatever churches might have said, whatever religion might have said, whatever educators might have said, whatever your siblings might have said about you, the fact is that you have something wonderful and unique and special that you can do. And it's called a great life. God's a dream fulfiller. He put the dreams inside you. We talked about that not long ago. But here's one of the important things you need to know. Unless you're strong, you'll never get there. It's important to know that. Sometimes we're reluctant to say, to face facts, I think, in life. But the truth is this, that too many people, they never attain what they could. I mean, I've lived longer than some, and not as long as some others, but I've lived long enough to know and to watch life and to see that just because people hoped it would happen, dreamed it would happen, believed it would happen, somebody told them it would happen, doesn't always mean that they get where they'd like to go. Because you've got to be strong, because there's opposition that comes against you. Now let me throw you just one kind of reference that has to do with this. And that is, in the Old Testament, you've got this guy called Joshua. How many remember Joshua? And Joshua was a pretty tough guy. He was the commander of the whole army. So in Israel, they had their army in those days. Moses was the boss man, you know, he was the man of God kind of leading the nation. And then Joshua was an assistant to him, but he was a military guy. He ran the whole army. Moses, long story short, Moses dies and God says to Joshua, okay, you're now the guy. You got to take us in. And so you'd think for a military guy, he'd be pretty equipped, but it was a little daunting. And so in the opening chapter of Joshua, God speaks to him and he says the same thing three times. You've got to take this land. You've got a brilliant land in front of you, which was called, what was it called? Canaan? Do you remember? Does that ring a bell? You got this brilliant land called Canaan. It's like the promised land. It's kind of like us. You've got this brilliant life. Promised land could be full of joy. It's not just like a certain income. It's full of joy. It's full of the dreams of your heart being fulfilled. It's not a cakewalk, but it's a great life. It's a life worth living. And you feel like you've achieved something with your life. So that dream's there. But he says to Joshua, listen, three times, you've got to be strong and very courageous if you're ever going to do this job. And the reality is, if you're not strong, you won't do it. Now, don't be like this guy I know in Australia. And not all Australians are like this, thankfully. But this is what happens to some people. This guy in Australia, he lived in Wollombi Crescent. That's a classic Australian name, Wollombi Crescent. In Forestville, not far from me, where I grew up. And he had a kind of a regular three-bedroom house. And he had, as some do, a garage there attached with the gym equipment. You know the gym equipment? In the garage, which wasn't used very much. The bench was there, but not very used. And there he is in his house. And late at night, he hears a window smash. Psh, and somebody kind of grappling, trying to unlock the door. So they want to come and take something. So this guy, instead of dealing with it, sneaks around the side door, goes into the gym area in his garage, gets on the bench, gets the weights out and starts pressing weights. Why would he do that? Well, if you've got a guy coming in trying to steal your stuff, you know you're going to have to overpower him. And he knew he had to be strong to do that. So he went to the garage at that time and said, oh, I better build up some muscles. Thankfully, not Australians are all like that. He left it too late. And needless to say, he got robbed. The truth is that we live in our lives a lot like that. See, because you've got stuff, that, like a devil ultimately, that is trying to rob you. God isn't trying to rob you. God's trying to bless you. When bad things happen in your life, that's not God. That's a good thing. That's like theology 101. The God is good and the devil is bad. That's, if you get that right, you're ahead of a lot of people right there, I'm telling you. Some of them, sadly, are in church leadership. But anyway, that's another matter. And so a lot of people, they get robbed of stuff because they don't get strong ahead of time. You see? And we need to know that because you need to be strong in your own life. That's why I'm talking about it, because I hope that today there's not something trying to rob you. Could rob you of your health, could rob you of your finance, could rob you of your marriage, could rob you of your future, could rob you of your career. And you have to be strong. Now, I'm going to talk to you about three kinds of strength in the little bit of time we've got together, because there's more than one kind of strength, but they're all interrelated. And in a minute or two, let's go to this first kind of strength. Here we go. Number one, the strength of courageous passion. This is a great kind of strength. This is Jesus, talking about Jesus in the Bible. It says, when the time was coming near for Jesus to depart, he was determined to go, resolutely set out for, set his face toward Jerusalem. You know that resoluteness? You with me? You know that passion? You know that courage? You know that we are going to do this thing? That's a part of strength. You've got to have that kind of strength, but it's not the only kind of strength. Now, in about a minute or so, we're going to take this down. I'm going to show you a clip. Got a couple of movie clips for you this morning. And I'm going to show you a clip that's going to just display that kind of strength for you. Because you've got to, part of your life, there's got to be moments in your life. There's got to be something in the heart of you that says, yes, we can do this. Yes, we will do this. And we have a mixture of strengths in us. You know, we have different kinds of strength. There he is. Braveheart. Now, I'm not making any statement this morning about the recent vote up in Scotland. Don't get into that. Let's just look at this as a picture of a passionate and courageous kind of strength. Let's play this now. Thank you very much. Perfect. That gives you a little idea. Have you seen that? How many of you ever seen that movie? It's a very inspiring movie. It's got a lot of great leadership stuff in it. But the important thing I want you to get there is about strength. That kind of we can do it, bold, passionate, courageous. You've got to get that kind of stuff in you, because sometimes challenges will come against you and you need that kind of strength. And you've got to find that. And we're going to talk right at the end when I close just about how to find that kind of strength. But that's strength number one. Just passionate. When stuff comes against you, just courageous. Just, we are not going to lie down here and let somebody walk over us. We are going to make a difference. We are going to arrive at the destination God called us to arrive at. Are you with me this morning? You get that? Can you feel what I'm saying? All right, I want us to go to the second one, because there's more than one kind. The strength of determined perseverance. See, the first one's very inspirational, and you need that. But then there's this other kind of strength. Don't throw away your confidence. This is Hebrews here. It'll be richly rewarded. Confidence will be rewarded. Let me just throw in something here for you. Because some of us have had, and I've been around church life for a long time, some of us have had church experiences that make us feel like confidence is questionable. Confidence sounds like a bit too, could that really be like truly godly and humble to be confident? And that is erroneous teaching. That destroys people and it hinders them from being the best that they can. So I want you to see it in the Bible. Don't throw away your confidence. You need to be in a place where you are taught. There is, of course, arrogance, but that's not the same as confidence. Now, Jesus, the Bible said, was extremely humble, but he was also extremely confident. He would walk around and say, if you've seen me, you've seen God. How many of you are walking around saying that right now? We've got some people that will counsel you. If you've seen me now, that was true, but that still takes a great deal of confidence. God's in you, you know. So it takes a real genuine confidence to be able to say to people and walk through your life like, hey, God's in me. I'm a God-connecting person. If you want to meet God, I can connect you. I'm in touch with God. That's who I am. You can do that and still be humble. Are you with me? And it's very important. One of the things that God is doing, I believe, saying, inspiring in the church in the UK, and when I mean the church, I mean the people on the cutting edge of hearing what God is saying, is that we have to build a humility that goes with confidence, and they mesh together hand in hand. Don't throw away your confidence. It's going to be rewarded. You need to persevere. Everyone just go, grit your teeth and go, urgh. You've got to persevere or have endurance so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he's promised. God promises good things. God promises you that he'll fulfill the desires of your heart. God promises you that he'll never leave you. God promises you that if you will sow and invest your life or your finance or your words or your time into his kingdom, into his people, and that the just like grain in the sand, that in the ground, that you'll reap a harvest will come back. There's much more than what you initially planted. That's a promise from God. But you, if you do that, you start investing time, you start taking more time to pray, you start dealing with your finances and making sure that it's correct before God, and you start getting your relationships in order and saying, I need to treat. If you start doing that, you'll be doing the will of God, but you need endurance before you get the receive the end of the promise. And that's where a lot of people miss it. They just quit. You just don't know. You know, I know because I've been there. I felt like quitting. Anyone ever felt like quitting? Okay, I know how you feel. I have totally felt like quitting more than once, repeatedly on occasion. Some days I just didn't know. You know, I mean, you live for 53 years and you serve God and you go through stuff. You just feel like that sometimes. And that's okay. You're in a place, you're in a house, you're in a fellowship, a community of people here. Well, that's okay if you feel like quitting. You just got to know what's the smartest thing to do at that time, because you don't know. See, if I'd quit then, I couldn't be here today helping you. And you've got to build some perseverance in. there's this amazing story that goes with this of this woman who prayed. It's in Luke chapter 18, and I'll tell you the story. Some of you will know it. But it was a widow woman, and in those days, there was no government aid for widows. If you're a widow, you're the picture of a helpless person. You have no money. In the Old Testament, some of the widows that had children would have to sell their children into slavery to pay for enough food to put on the table. Not an easy decision to make. But a widow was in a terrible, difficult situation. And this widow is not unusual. You know, same in Israel then as it is often today. This widow was taken advantage of by the system. So somebody had thought, she's weak, she's got no guts, she won't do anything. So I'll just take advantage of her, and somebody had mistreated her. So she went to the judge. Now, most people might go to their neighbour, you know, and they took this from me. But she went to the judge and she said, listen, judge, this isn't right. And the judge, who's supposed to represent what is good and what is right and what is fair, kicked her out, said, I don't want to deal with this, get rid of her. And right there, I reckon something like 90% plus of Christians would quit. Because they'd say this, and I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just trying to help you. Because many of us, let's just say it that way, many of us would feel like, okay, so I prayed, I didn't fall over, I went to see the judge. I didn't get bitter, I didn't start getting negative and gossiping to the neighbor, I went to see the judge to get, and you, the one thing, I just asked God to give me a judge, you know, that would understand my case and that would support my case, and I go in, and there's this judge, and he just kicked me right out, and that's just, and many people would become forlorn at that point, they just quit. But not her. The next day she came back. She's a widow. She's got nothing. She just knocks on the judge's door again. Hey, I'm back. And he's like, She has more, what do you call them, than a lot of men have. Whatever they are. I'm back again. And he kicks her out again. Third day, I'm back again. And he kicks her out again. Fourth day, I'm back again. Next week, Monday, this woman is not going to, now she's the talk of the court. This woman that keeps coming back insisting, she's never going to get justice. She's like, she's a widow. No chance. She's next Monday, she's there again, 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm back again. Tuesday, I'm back again. Everyone say it with me, Wednesday. Just keeps coming back. And that was an illustration of how you're supposed to pray. And the judge in the story is God. And you think, well, surely God would do what's right and what's fair. Well, yeah, he does, but the point of the story is to illustrate a different side. We're not talking about God. We're talking about what's inside of us that gets the job done. God will answer your prayers if you just won't quit. And that's the whole motto of the story, is that people ought to pray and not quit. Now, that's not only true in prayer life, though. That's in every area of life. I'm back again. I'm turning up again. I'm coming back again. I'm getting up in the morning. I'm here again. It was a terrible day yesterday. Lost my job. Crashed my car. Wife left me and both the kids are sick. I'm back again. There's got to be some kind of strength. Are you with me? Now, the good thing about God is once you connect with God, he kind of orchestrates life so that you're never going to go through something that will actually ruin you. That's an incredible promise. It's not my subject today, but it's an amazing thing. But the point is this, if you just learn to get some strength inside you, you'll get what you're looking for. You just got to be strong. We say in Australia, maybe it came from here, we say there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. Do you say that? It probably came from here. I don't know anyone who skins cats. And there's a couple of people in England that skin squirrels, and even they get kind of maligned by the press. But either way, the point is there's more than one way to get a job done. There's more than one way to live a great, fulfilled life. You might have failed your A-levels, GCSEs might have gone wrong, the uni you wanted mightn't have accepted you, the job you went for mightn't have, you know, the boss that you had might have mistreated you, someone. There's more than one way to get the job done, folks. It's not that everything is going to fall. Oh, I'm a Christian now, everything's going to fall. No, no, what you need is strength. Stuff is going to come against you, but you can beat it if you'll have some strength. So this kind of strength, and we can pop that back up because we're not going to the picture until we're doing another little clip in a minute. This kind of strength is determined perseverance strength. It's just hanging in there. It's gritty. See, but it's not so much about inspiration. It's just about turning up. Sometimes winning is just turning up another day. And you can say, oh, but Paul, I've been turning up for months at this job. I've been turning up for years in this marriage. And I know that's how it feels. But I'm telling you that you can win if you'll keep turning up. Are you with me? And then there's a third kind, and that's the last kind. Let's go to this real quick. A third kind of strength that we're going to talk about. Strength of courageous passion, the strength of a determined appearance. And here's one that you don't see modeled so much. The strength of positive perspective. What I mean by that is the strength of carrying yourself, looking at things in such a way that you don't fold over on the inside. Positive perspective. Here, look at these verses. See? The Lord's my helper. I won't be afraid. What can man do to me? If we had that perspective in our lives, dominating our lives, then really it wouldn't matter what happened because God's helping me. And why should I be afraid? God, are you with me? The God, the one who made everything, the one who made you, the one who said, let there be light. And we still don't know from a physics point of view exactly what light is. The one who put all the little pieces together in the, what's the accelerator? Something in Bern in Switzerland? What's that, physics people? What's that called? The what? Yeah, Hadron accelerator, Hadron collider, which is like a mile or a couple of miles long, and you know about it, physics, they're doing this, so they're firing electrons, which are part of a cell, at massive speeds around this thing that's like a mile long. They fire them around so they crash into each other. This is a very layman's description, forgive me for the physicists. But in that, so that when they hit each other and they crash, they're trying to discover exactly what other subparticles are, smaller than electrons, that make everything we know, matter. And here we are in the 21st century spending millions, probably billions of pounds on that everything that's associated with finding out. And then you've got this guy who actually made it, who actually knows exactly, and if you could, have an interview, he'd say, now listen, the thing with the collider, the reason you're having trouble with it is because, but if you change the speed or you change the tilt, then you'd find this. And actually, there's more subparticles than that one. There's this other thing that I've got going. That's gone. Now, if he's with you, what on earth are we doing worrying? But what happens is that we allow our perspective to be driven by what it looks like instead of what God said. And we lose strength. There's a kind of strength of positive perspective. Notice this, it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. That's a promise. God's working in you. And your will, your desires are getting lined up automatically. If you're a Christian, he's in you. He's working on your desires to line up with what he wants. Which really makes a mockery of the kind of thinking, and it's erroneous thinking, but I'm on this, hot on this just point at the moment. The idea that, I'm a Christian, but probably most of what I desire is all wrong. It's probably all evil. It's probably all me. Dear God, get me away from what I want so I can really discover what you want. That's really poor teaching. It counteracts that completely. God's at work in you. If you have even a little bit of interest in God, then he's working in you, working with what he can work with to create in you desires that line up exactly with what he wants. Put it this way, the things that you most love to do, as long as there's nothing, as long as you're not in a bad place, like you got really angry and you just really want to kill that person that did that to you, I'm not talking about that. Then you're not in the God zone, you with me? But when you're in a decent, normal zone, and you're thinking about what I'd really like to do with my life, the chances are very high that what you desire in that regard and what God made you to do are very closely linked. Much better preaching. Be happy. Fulfill some dreams. Get excited about what's on the inside of you. On the next page, I'm going to talk another verses because I want to help you see this. The strength of positive perspective. The way of life winds upward for the wise. You see, life winds up. It's windy though, isn't it? You ever felt like you're going down? It's windy, but it winds upwards. That's a perspective you have. Yeah, well, I lost this job. Well, my life crashed. Yeah, well, I went through this terrible health situation. Yeah, but my life is winding upwards. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe that you know, you're on the way down and you're never coming up again? You can believe that if you want to. Or you can believe that your life is winding upwards. Choice is yours. But there's a certain kind of strength. It's like poise that just looks at things and sees the problems. It doesn't ignore the problems, but it lives above the problems. It says, yes, these problems are real. I have to deal with them. The mortgage rates have gone up and my salary has not gone up. And as it is, my budget is tight. I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm going to have to find a practical answer. Somehow it's got to be done. But I'm not going to let it emotionally turmoil me, because what good would that do? There's a certain kind of strength that just says, you know, it's got to be dealt with, but I'm not going to let it perturb me. I'm not going to fold on the inside. Are you with me? That kind of strength. Here's another one. Great, it's an example of the same kind of strength. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. What we're really talking about here is ruling your spirit, ruling your passions. You see, to have passion is awesome. But sometimes you've got to rule that passion, or else you're going to do something that isn't going to help you or anybody else. It's a different kind of strength. Are you with me there? You've got to rule your spirit. All right, we're going to show you one more clip, and then we're just about done. Is this helping you this morning? Because I want you to be strong. But let's watch it, a really good example. It's from all the South Africans amongst us. I love this. It's from the film called Invictus. Remember that? And this is a little speech. And just as a lot of prequel, what's happened is that Nelson Mandela's been elected, and we're looking at... It's something like, and I might be corrected here, but I think something like 96%, over 90% of the population of South Africa were Africans, blacks. Well, I hope I'm using the right term. Yeah, African. Is that okay? You with me? Is that correct? Over, okay. So he's dealing with this 90% plus of the population who have elected him, a black African man, as their leader. And they have been substantially repressed for a long time by a minority of white people. Now, this is just a historical fact. I'm not making any statements about anything. I haven't lived. You know what I'm saying? You with me? Just from his. So now you've got this guy who has been through 27 years of prison, mistreated by all Afrikaner leaders that mistreated him in the prison. So you can see the hotbed of feist and hatred and getting angry is full, okay? And now he goes to, are we just about ready to run? Now he goes to a football club, a rugby club, which is mostly black African guys, which obviously, now that they've got power, their man's in charge, we're going to get rid of the Springboks, because they are a classic representation of white supremacy in that culture. It's the white man's game. It was mostly the white men that played it. And that really gets under the skin, and understandably, of the African people. Are you with me? So they've just now voting about what we're going to do about the Springboks, and nobody is going to support them because they're part of the regime that we don't want anything to do with. Now, Mandela's strength is displayed in how he handles that. Here we go. Let's look at this. All right, what are we going to do? We're going to try and start it again? We'll give it one more shot because it's worth seeing. We need to move on. I'm very sorry about that. And we're going to try. I'm sure we're going to try. So I'll walk through it. So the bottom line of it, and it would have been much nicer to see Morgan Freeman do it, but he says, you've made an error of judgment because you've decided to stop having the Springboks. We're going to cut them out. And, of course, they all expect him to be completely for it. And he says, I was for 27 years in Robben Island, where I was mistreated. You know, the stories are pretty horrific. And all Afrikaners, so all white South African people. But instead of getting twisted about it, he said, I observed them. And I learnt their ways. And he said, this is no time for petty revenge. Now you've got the chance. Now I'm this black man. I'm your leader. And what are we going to do? The same thing they did back to us. He said, if we're going to have a future as a nation, we have to have these people on board with us. And to them, rugby is extremely important. So if you shut down rugby, you lose them. And we're back where we started before I was elected. So we need to show them compassion. And we need to show them kindness. And we need to show them understanding. And then he says, yes, I know. All the things they never showed us. But this is not a time for petty revenge. This is a time. And then they go to the vote. He says, who's with me? And no hands raise. And then they have a vote, and I think he wins it by one vote, so they keep the Springbok team going. But the point was that it would have been politically much better for him to get all the 90-whatever percent of the black Africans that had cheered for him, that had been downtrodden for so long, to get them behind him, and he could have had this revolution. But instead he took a very difficult path that people did not expect, because his vision was to unify these people which hadn't been unified. Because we all do what we've been trained to do. And it's easy for the you know, without getting into the politics of it all, it's easy for us to look at some other people group and say, they did that, they mistreated us. And there's probably going to be some truth in all of that. But the reality is that that doesn't make all these people bad people. Most of them just learnt to do things because that's the way they were taught. And if we're going to change anything, we've got to change the way people are taught. So that's what he did. My point is that he went through this with tremendous strength. He could have got emotional. He could have got really angry that these guys that had voted him in couldn't get the program. But instead he remains level. You at least saw about 20 seconds of that. That kind of strength. Are you with me? I'm going to close just in a couple of minutes, but this is really important. Watch me. Because it's all very well to inspire you and say, yeah, be strong. But you're going to go home today and you're going to live. And my intention as a minister, as a preacher, as a speaker, is to give you something that you can actually live out from this week, and it makes your life better, and week after week and month after month, so that in a year you become someone that you weren't before. That's the point. Are you with me? So let's look real quick. It's going to take me just a minute or two. How do you get strong? Three ways. Number one, promises. God's promises are food for your inner person. This Bible is mostly not instruction. It's mostly inspiration and promise. It's mostly got stuff. It's not. Most of it is not telling you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't do anything. Most of it is you're valuable. The whole point of it is that you're wonderful and you're loved by God. And it's full of promises. And if you get, like I gave you a couple, I'll never leave you. I'm always with you. That puts something inside of you if you'll feed on it. I know, you know, I live in this world. I love being in England. I love being in Europe. I know that most people, 99 out of 100, really don't think that the Bible has answers for people's lives. And I get that. And I don't blame them. And I really don't think it's going to help for us to walk around with the Bible saying, this has got the answers for everyone's lives. You should be listening, you naughty people. You've all abandoned God. God's judgment will come on you. I don't see Jesus talking that way. Jesus dealt with a woman who's involved in committing adultery. And he says, I'll forgive you. Where's all your condemners? They've gone. I'm not going to condemn you either. Condemning people doesn't help. Condemning people isn't the gospel. But when you build this stuff in yourself, are you with me? And then number two, so promises, feeding on this. Get excited. Find the promises. Do a little study. Spend some time hearing what God said. Number two, people. The people you choose to do life with will literally cause you to fail or succeed. That's absolutely the truth. What you associate with will change your life. And when I was praying last night thinking about our church, I'm praying because church is not just... I love being with you. I love talking to you and helping you. But that's only 40, 50 minutes a week or whatever it is. What's great about church is that you guys get to know one another and you find that if we're all hearing the same drumbeat, that there's help and strength and encouragement in other people's lives. That they can bring... You know, I told you, I've been through some very dark times in my life. And when I was in bad times, there were a handful of people that really took pleasure in kicking me when I was down. And I really didn't know whether I'd make it or not. But there's a handful of people in life that knew what I was going through and that were there, no condemnation, no criticism, that were just there to say, we want to see you make it. You know, and I could almost get teary thinking about that. But I will never forget those people. Are you with me? The people that you... Now, it's like the guy doing the weights when he's already broken into the house. Don't start deciding you need to make friends and build connections in amongst people like this when everything's already fallen apart. Makes it really hard because you don't want to make friends because you're coming as a loser. You know, you're coming, my whole life's a mess. Choose to make friends now. Are you with me? Connect, get in the connect groups like Carrie said, we're going to start one in Staines soon. We might start two in Staines. I'll start 100. I don't mind. But I need you guys to feel like we want to be part of the community of... Are you with me? And then the last thing is this, presence. The promises of God, the people of God, the presence of God. God's personal presence and power in you through connecting with Jesus. Something happens, and I'd love Grace if she'd just come and play that nice quiet bit of keyboard for me quickly there. And yeah, come on. And there's something that happens when God's presence gets on the inside of you. And that's what Christianity is. It's not religion. It's not rules. It's not you have to read the Bible 3 times a day. It's a God who loves you, whose power and presence gets down on the inside of you and makes a difference. There's a strength there that wasn't there before. It's a literal, so Carrie, you talked about healing. We had Esther's not here this morning. She was really here. Doris is here. People that get healed, why? Because God's a God of power. And His power can put strength inside you. I'd love you all to close your eyes right now. We're just going to come to a close. It's been great to have you with us. And I want to ask you a couple of questions while all your eyes are closed. If you feel like, man, I could do with more strength in my life. And that might be like everybody in here, you know. If you feel like I could do with more strength in my life, then while all these eyes are closed, please do close your eyes, everybody. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything like that. I just want you to lift your hand and acknowledge that so that I can see it. That's me. I need more strength in my life. I really need some more strength in my life. This makes sense to me. Cool. And let me just pray for you. Father, touch these people's lives with strength. Help incredible relationships develop in the house of God here, that we become friends in a way that we just can't imagine. It's like family, but it's supernatural. It's amazing. I really pray that you strengthen these people's hearts. Awesome. Now, while eyes are closed, keep your eyes closed. You can put your hands down now. If there's any people here and you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, that makes sense, what you said about Christianity and God's power in me. And you've never actually made like a deliberate connection with God. You've never actually said, hey, God, I'd like to connect with you. This makes sense to me. If this is what Christianity is, then I really want to go this direction. This makes sense. I'd like for you and your power to come inside of my life. You won't understand everything that that means. But right now, as you're sitting here on the inside of you, it feels like, yeah, that makes sense to me. Maybe you've never done that before. Or maybe you did it once or you grew up in a church, but right now as you're sitting here, you're feeling like, man, the connection, it's like the connection isn't there. I need to connect with God. If that's you, while all these eyes are closed, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to just lift your hand up and say, that's me, and I'm going to pray for you as well. That's awesome. God bless you. You can put your hand down again. Is there anyone else here this morning who says, that's me? It's a personal thing. That's why eyes are closed. It's just you and God, and I'll know, and I want to help you. Anyone else here at all that says, yeah, that's me? I need to connect with him. Awesome. I'm going to pray for you now. Father God, let the presence of God just overwhelm our lives. I believe that what you're going to do in these people's lives, in this building and beyond, is astounding. I believe it's a time to take the limits off and see most amazing things in the days and months ahead. Ask you to bless these people. Ask that you help them to remember always that you're a God who gives strength, that you've a God that's given them a great dream, and that you can help them achieve it. And ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, yes. Say yes.